Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Thursday edition of The Drive. And two-thirds of the, half the people in here made it back from Atlanta last night. I didn't see you guys.
We were on the same.
I looked for a little bit.
We were on the same side as the cameras.
Oh, so that's why I didn't see you.
We were adjacent, just
behind
a little bit.
The camera.
Can I say excellent?
Music's
too loud?
Way too loud.
Yeah. Drew, turn your headphones on. The seats we were given were excellent. Again, shout out to the great folks at Gas South, the entire arena and park they've got there in Duluth, Georgia, where Justin and I saw AEW Dynamite, the live taping last night, the live broadcast and the taping. But no, great stuff from, again, thanks to the Gas South, Marsha, AEW Media hooked us up with those tickets as well. So, thanks to everybody. I had a great time. I thought it was a great show.
Yeah, Justin, yeah, it was a lot of fun. But we weren't in TV range, sadly.
Oh, okay. Well, that maybe explains it. But anyway, good to have you guys back. That's Dan and Justin and Bill with Drew at the controls here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well. As we inch closer. We are under double figures as far as days until Auburn football. 9 days.
And the news coming out while we were at the show yesterday that the game's now a sellout officially, mm-hmm. The opener.
Right.
Folks expected, but I mean it was getting as we once they announced the record number of season tickets, you know, mm-hmm.
Several of the SEC games that had already sold out. But yeah, for an opener at 2:00 in the afternoon.
2:30
against
still going to be a hot
against a really against a really bad team.
But I think it tells you the excitement that's been generated from from Hugh Freeze and his staff and the team. I mean, there's so many new faces to try to be familiar with.
I was just talking about this. I did a radio hit while I was coming in here, and outside of running back and defensive back, it's like you can make an argument like every position group on the team is going to have either starters or key players that were not here last year.
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. And that's something that's, it's going to be a lot to get used to it if you're an Auburn fan, especially if you, haven't necessarily been locked into the recruiting and the transfer because there was just so much going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brand new team for the most part. And now there are still a decent number of players that were here last year that are going to be key players for you this year. But I mean, there could arguably be even more guys who weren't here last year that are going to be, key pieces of the puzzle this season. And that's what makes this season so unpredictable because A, we've never seen these guys play together. And B, we haven't seen a lot of these guys play at this level before.
Right.
And it's just how do they come together under this new staff. It could go a lot of different directions, but week one against a team you should beat pretty handily, I can see why there's a ton of excitement for that, and it'll be a good sellout.
Yeah, I told somebody I couldn't guarantee how many – this was before it was announced as a sellout. I couldn't guarantee how many people would be there at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it will be a great crowd and a crowd that's pretty excited. You're right. I mean, it's an opponent that you should handle easily, but there hasn't been a lot of excitement – for a while,
mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are anxious and looking forward to being able to to have something to be excited about.
I would disagree a little. I think there hasn't been as much optimism as that's there is true. Right now. Like that, there's
A&M, you know, there, A&M game last year.
Yeah, I mean, there was excitement at times last season that sort of matched. It just wasn't consistent.
There hasn't been a, man, I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, what goes on this year, but not just this year. They think, really, we're headed in the right direction.
Right.
And that's been a little bit.
We've joked about when people want a definition of alignment, the one that comes to mind is alignment seems like now more than ever it's important people like the head coach. Or like that's what alignment is. If you want to boil it down, it's like the alignment is that there aren't powerful and not to lean into the conspiracy theory stuff, right. But it's like there aren't people sort of pulling in different directions at important spots.
I'll give you an example
around the program.
I'll give you an example of that. It's just a good sign, I think, of alignment is look how well Auburn has recruited in the 24 cycle without playing a single game yet. And you have to. Like, you know, the recruiting gets earlier and earlier each year. Guys want to go ahead. Like, so many key players. It used to be, you know, signing day. And that was in February was everything. And then it was like, okay, well, now December's the big day. And now it's kind of the point where a lot of these elite kids, they want to get their senior year seasons of high school football and not have to worry about it. And, like, already have their decisions made. And then so that by the time December rolls around, bam, I'm signing, and I know where I'm going to be in January. And with that being the case, Auburn had to go above and beyond to get this recruiting class going because they couldn't afford to sit back. You know, I think there was a lot. I mean, I even said it earlier in the year. I think there was going to be some wait and see with this recruiting class.
There's still some.
But you can't afford to have that happen. And a good sign for alignment is – you've got a class that's top 15. It's still a small class compared to the rest in the top 15, but it's a top 15 class, and you've been able to convince kids to sign up for what you've got going on before even playing a single down, and that takes not only a program working together, but in today's day and age with NIL, that takes people putting the resources in place, you know, whether that's NIL or just giving guys in the program the resources to do their job in recruiting, and it's gone a long way.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, sellout for next Saturday against UMass. We do have some football. Sadly, not until Saturday. Dan was asking earlier today, and it seems like there ought to be. I mean, there is football, but there's no college football.
Yeah, I thought there might be some Thursday night week zero action. That's not what we have.
I guess they would feel like it's below zero. If you started before Saturday.
No, so Saturday is absolute zero. You know, we don't have anything before then. This is the
and there's some Thursday nights next week.
Yes.
And then Thursday night kind of goes away once NFL gets going.
Florida Utah is next Thursday night. Sort of headlining the
Labor Day weekend. You like to Labor Day weekend's always fun. You usually get Sunday night game all weekend long and through Monday night.
Yeah, the NFL's move to a sort of consistent Thursday schedule I think there's more reluctance than ever before to put a marquee college football matchup on Thursday. You remember 10, 15, 20 years ago,
you'd get one a week.
The ACC teams and the Big East teams would throw top 10 programs against each other on Thursday night. You're not seeing that nearly as often. I think the logistics of hosting a Thursday night game during the school year also plays a little bit of a role if you have an on-campus stadium. Just, it's
tough.
It's tough to do with a class with class.
Pretty well, cancels classes on Friday, whether they're officially canceled or not.
I just remember going to Manhattan in 2014 to cover that game, and it was just weird. The vibe for a Thursday night game on a campus was just like, all right, now let's go play football. Like, people were having to go to class.
It's a regular day. Everybody's going to class.
There were
so
people
forth.
Tailgating, but it wasn't like it didn't feel quite the same. But it's all for TV. I think now more and more, you've got this thing where TV is what it is, but B, like if the networks are all about maximizing your TV ratings, you don't want to go up against the NFL because the NFL, as they've done for a long time now, they've gotten better about it on Thursday nights. But they used to put up the worst matchups on Thursday night, and it would still get crazy ratings because it's the NFL. So don't go up against that. So it's kind of been, I think it's a win-win, for college football fans because it's like you get more of the real what we think of college football because there's more Saturday matchups instead of guys getting farmed off to Thursday nights. And also, like, the TV people are like, not having to go up against the juggernaut. Even nowadays when Thursday night football in the NFL is like you got to have Amazon Prime to watch it. And like that's even though that's tough or like not as easy as, you know, just turning on your TV, it still gets just nuts ratings. And they seem to be loading up the schedule this year for it.
We're just getting underway here on the Thursday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, Drew at the controls, and hour number one of The Drive brought to you, as usual, by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And they're also the sponsor of our hotline. You can give us a call at 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center, or go to any podcast platform that you like to use. Search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, and make sure you rate, review, subscribe if you consume the show that way. That's all presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Yesterday, we got our only media opportunity of the week. All of us were over there yesterday. I mean, Justin, what did you think? I mean, obviously, the highlight was getting a chance, our first opportunity to spend some time with Peyton Thorne.
Oh, my highlight was talking to Oscar Chapman, but I don't know.
Well, I mean,
No, I do enjoy talking to Oscar Chapman. We got to talk some Aussie rules with Oscar. My dad watches Aussie rules football like on the weekends now, and so I've kind of picked up some of it. So getting to talk with him about it was kind of fun. But
who's his team? Does he have a favorite?
The Adelaide Crows,
okay.
Which just made the grand final not too long ago, as we were talking about. But yeah,
he might as well be making those things up.
That's right.
The Adelaide Crows.
I like it.
And the grand final.
They got some. There's some fun teams down there for sure. The Peyton Thorne. I thought it was really interesting talking to him. Some of his answers were really intriguing. I wrote today at the Observer a pretty big piece on just kind of the thought process. The thing that jumped out to me, Bill, and what I wrote about today was that when you look at I went back through the transcript, he said it twice. The fact that he's playing for an offensive minded head coach who has called plays before, and he's got an offensive coordinator who's his quarterback's coach. And there's also a special assistant on the staff that is dedicated
about
to quarterbacks.
When he talked about the number of folks involved with quarterback.
Yeah, that to him, I mean, hearing him say that was like, okay, this is a huge reason why he's at Auburn. And you hear him talk – you hear the coaches talking about all the time how he wanted to – I want to know what you're thinking about these plays. And he approaches – it's a cliche. It's the easiest cliche in football, but – as a quarterback like he is, like he wants to think like a coach, and it helps because his dad was a coach and his grandfather was a coach, and he comes from that kind of background. But one of the reasons, and I think the biggest reason why Peyton Thorne was named your QB1 as early as it did happen, is because he did so much work and just kind of jumped in with both feet about just learning this offense and spending as much time as possible with this coaching staff, because I think he truly appreciates, reading between the lines, I think he truly appreciates playing at a place like Auburn and being on it with staff like this, because at Michigan State he didn't have that. Mm-hmm. Mel Tucker's a defensive guy.
Yep.
He was kind of off on an island with his quarterback coach and his offensive coordinator. From the top down at Auburn, it's about how do you maximize the most important position on the field, which is quarterback. And I think that is why Peyton Thorne's here, and that's why Peyton Thorne's been so successful so quickly.
You know what was missing? You know what was missing at the quarterback position at Michigan State? Alignment. Because you had some folks who thought, Well, Peyton Thorne gave us the best chance to win a long time. You know, there were people pushing for the, not just in the fan base, internally it sounds like. I mean, they had the freshmen sharing snaps with Peyton Thorne. Like, I think it's justifiable, not to diminish the importance of competition, it's justifiable that a guy who had started as many games as Peyton Thorne may be a little bit insulted that he's in a very long, you know, a complicated quarterback battle. And Michigan State was set with several other teams.
If Bo Nix would have stayed here in 2022, it would have been the same way. They were going to do the same thing.
And there's the chance that if Peyton Thorne stays at Michigan State and he starts the year as the starting quarterback, if that season starts to go south, he could be scapegoated by the coaching staff. He could be the first one pulled when they need to put a spark
into
the offense
and
change
too.
Things. I mean, I think there's –
I'm telling you, if whoever the quarterback at Michigan State is – doesn't do as well as Peyton Thorne this year, there's going to be an awful lot of heat right there on Mel Tucker.
And it's not as though Peyton Thorne has a ton of security at Auburn either, because there's been a lot of complimentary things said about the backup quarterback, Robbie Ashford, and there's really not that much room to fail anywhere in college football as a quarterback for an extended period of time before someone else gets to play the position.
And you get a setup at Auburn where, hey, I'm going to go play in the SEC. My head coach is an offense guy. He's a quarterback's guy. My offensive coordinator, obviously, is a quarterback's guy. There are other guys on this staff that are quarterback's dudes. And, like, you're walking away from a situation where, hey, you're going to have to fight to keep this job that 2 years earlier you helped change this program and have this phenomenal season to now you're at the point where it's like, all right, well, you got to fight for it. I'll go to – and he had to earn it at Auburn. And Robbie Ashford and Holden Garner didn't make it easy on him by any means. But, like, I could see the appeal of being like, I'm going to go do that. Kind of like when Bo went to Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I could stay here and fight. And, I've got a fan base that's split on me. Even though I love Auburn and I'm an Auburn guy, like, why not go to Oregon where it was like, hey, you can come start on a great team right off the bat. And Oregon, I think it's a similar situation with Thorne.
Oregon seemed to represent, especially in the moment, an upgrade in supporting cast for Bo versus what he was leaving at Auburn. I don't know enough about the supporting cast at Michigan State. I know the win-loss record last year.
I know their offensive line struggled last year.
I mean, I wonder if that's a similar
Auburn's
move.
Auburn's did too, though.
I wonder if the experts, if on paper Peyton Thorne has upgraded his supporting cast by jumping from Michigan State to Auburn the way that Bo Nix may have upgraded his immediate supporting cast by jumping from Auburn to Oregon. Because that's also, you can be an excellent quarterback, and if the other 10 guys,
if nobody's blocking or can catch.
Yeah, we've seen.
Then it's just not going to show.
Yeah, we've seen that's when guys like Aaron Rodgers or Andrew Luck have to do like Herculean things, right? Because the supporting cast around them can be wanting at times. This is the anniversary, by the way, Justin, of, is it the Andrew Luck retirement? I believe that was today.
Today's also the anniversary of the Alliance.
Oh, the three conferences. How's that working out?
And that's it. That's exactly how it's working out. Well, I tell you what, Oregon State and Washington State sure wish that it worked out, don't they?
Man, we'll see.
Aren't the ACC folks supposed to be meeting tonight?
If Florida State and Clemson are already unhappy about the share of revenue they bring in, how does adding more teams and making the share smaller for everyone?
It's supposedly not. It's supposedly going to bring in extra money, and they're going to distribute it unevenly.
So maybe there's a broadcast partner like ESPN saying, we'll pay you more if Cal and Stanford are in the league.
And then SMU is saying, we don't need any media rights money. And
Although if that were the case, wouldn't Florida State be a yes vote? And right now they're a no vote?
Well, I think that's what they have to try to discuss tonight.
Okay.
To go, you may get more money if these other teams come in. We just won't give them nearly as much.
It sounds to me like they're It sounds like insurance for when the football schools leave.
Here's some interesting news. It just popped up. Auburn just put out a press release about the game day experience and all the new stuff.
Is this about the heat?
Officially a new capacity at Auburn. They've expanded it. You got a new number to memorize.
Oh, because there's seats on the field now? Because
they put the premium seats in and upgraded. So
what are we at now?
88,043.
We topped the 88,000 mark.
How many people can they put in the penalty boxes at capacity?
Well,
how many
I don't
can
know.
Sit in the four?
Well, I mean, you got to add it to.
Suppose you get 20 or 30 game misconducts in there in a five for fighting.
I mean, we're obviously, well, it's going to be. What would it be? Five something?
Yeah, I mean, a couple hundred. I mean, Justin, where are you on the on field seats?
I will never have to worry about that. Yeah. So I guess like
you don't everyone, never say never.
Yeah. So here's the thing. It's like, well, I mean, I will never
That's
have enough
foreshadowing.
Money to.
Well, see, never problem. Say
yeah,
never.
You never know,
just,
man.
You don't know.
But
like, those seats won't be there by the time you do, unless you hit the lottery here,
probably
real soon.
The thing there, I get it. Like, you got to find ways to make more money. And, like, it's the whole reason why we don't have the press box in our old area anymore.
Right.
Like, they're maximizing money. So I think I don't think it's going to be an issue. I don't think it's a problem. Like, I've seen a lot of different places do it, and it works.
And this is not permanent either. It's right. not. It's not going to be permanent when more work is done. It's it's going to look more like, you know, what you would think it would be.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, it's something, and it's been popular apparently.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, those suites that they have where the press box used to be. I mean, they're it's so much money, but they're very, very popular.
And oh yeah,
for a reason, man. Like you can draw it up. It's kind of like also the things they've done and changed at the arena. Like, the demand is that high, and you're gonna always find people who are willing to pay it.
We need to get to our first break, Cameron. Hang on, you're up when we come back here on the Thursday Drive.
Kia of Auburn.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson, and let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Cameron is up first. Hey, Cameron.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Doing fine.
Yeah, good. I kind of want to get some background information on the new field seats at the stadium. I worked for a company that did some work at the stadium recently, and I saw the construction of the field seats. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think field seats, like field level seats, they're the most overrated seats of all, because I mean, if you're sitting in those corner end zone seat in these, I think that's the south end zone, you're basically looking straight at the backs of all the reporters, all the camera people there, and you can't see any action on the field.
I wonder how much of it rolled on their camera, because I wonder. I mean, even in the depictions, they prominently show like the TVs inside the field level seating.
Yes,
I wonder how much on field viewing you're supposed to be doing, and how much of it's supposed to be like a social.
It's more an ambiance and the social, right? Yeah. So you're right, Cameron. I mean, you're gonna have a difficult time, even if there weren't folks standing in front of you. Once the ball gets out past about the 30-yard line, you're really going to have a difficult time determining. And if you're in the south end, you've got the big video board behind you. Now, that's not going to help you either.
The view's not the only aspect of a seat, so you could still have a good time sitting there.
It's the amenities.
But your point about the obstructed view is probably a good one, Cameron.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, as a personal preference, that's just not my ideal type of seating. I like to be like up in the nosebleed seats, but just want to call and give my thoughts about that. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Cameron. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit when we first saw it. And again, as I mentioned a little while ago, this is not something that is a plan to be permanent. I mean, but it is something where there had been, some requests for something like that, and you get requests for something like that, you can accommodate them and you can make some money. So why not?
And I still, again, without knowing like the intimate detail, I probably should have asked Cameron since he knows the construction and stuff, like the shelter situation there.
That's the one thing I do not know yet.
I would think it's got to be like a soft top, because keeping a hard, keeping something with a ceiling would be keeping it cool. I feel like would be a real demand on that field. And
also shelter from the elements. Period. What if it's raining? What if it's extremely cold too? I mean, you seem like you would want some kind.
I mean, we've got
of cover.
You go around Auburn on game day, there is outstanding tent technology,
yes,
right?
There is.
Tent and canopy technology being displayed all over. So I would think they've got something in mind for keeping people sheltered and away from the elements and everything else. And any sort of debris that could come flying at them if they're blocking people's seats.
I don't know if they really be blocking much, because you get the back of the end zone.
We were thinking that if
things aren't going well, there's no telling what might come flying.
If positioned incorrectly, those seats could have blocked people's views. It sounds like they're not doing that.
One more call before we get to our bottom of the hour break, and Dak is up next. Hey, Dak.
What's up, Dak?
Hey, guys. Good to hear your voices today, man.
Hope you're doing
just a
well.
Comment.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been a while. To comment on the field, the little deal they're doing on the field, I got invited to the Ole Miss-Auburn game this past season at Ole Miss, and they had those on the field. And I was in that sucker for about 3 minutes and realized I could not see nothing of the game, so I went up to my seats in the stands. And but, yeah, I going up to my seats in the stands, and I saw all the places where they had these at Ole Miss, and I just thought, I mean, I thought they must be paying a lot of money to be on that field, but you could not see anything as far as the game goes.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. That's exactly what I was saying a few minutes ago. You're not going to be able to see anything unless, and then can't even guarantee that you could, if it was goal line action going on right in front of you.
Right, right. That would be about is the only possible thing that you're going to be able to see, that I witnessed. I didn't like the looks of it either once I went up in the stand and really – started counting how many they had. I think Ole Miss had, they basically had four on each sideline, each sideline for them to be at. And it looked like it would hold about 12 the way they had it set up. But yeah, I didn't care for it too much.
Yeah, I mean, I think the benefits of it, I mean, the being able to experience the roar of the crowd from field level, which is, a little bit different from, depending on where you sit, that's appealing. And, being able to sit in a group, I think did it seem like there was a beer tap or something going on there in the,
it is. But a question about football, I've been able to watch two scrimmages, and I do think that we're going to be a lot better in every area.
Hold on, Dak. We ought to be asking you questions. If you watch the two scrimmages, you've seen more than we have.
Okay. I tell you, the surprise to me out of the two scrimmages that I saw is Robbie Ashford looked a lot better. He looked a lot better than he did last year. And but I'm impressed with Thorne as well now. But it just seemed like Ashford was a lot – he was just more comfortable and looked like that he was enjoying – the type of offense that he's in now. And I think the receivers have come a long ways. My concern after watching the two scrimmages is at linebacker. I'm very concerned there.
Well, now Austin Keyes wasn't out there for the second one, and he got banged
Absolutely.
Up in the first, right?
Yeah.
That is true. I'm concerned about the depth there, and I'm concerned about our size at linebacker, and I can just imagine, I can just see LSU just pounding the football on us. I hope I'm wrong, but as far as everywhere else, there is no doubt in my mind that we're a lot better football team.
Dak, I wonder on your point about the linebackers, I wonder if there's going to be situations where Auburn has to overcommit to stop the run, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on Auburn's secondary to hold up in one-on-one matchups and things, and maybe that's not even enough to try to overcommit because you still need to actually go make the plays. But, yeah, I could see a lot of scenarios where Auburn has to really overplay the run against some of these teams.
I agree, and I think that may be one of the reasons why Coach Freeze called the DBs out one day, because he realizes we're going to have to expect a lot out of our secondary. I think he realizes that, and I think he was wanting them to needing them to step it up more than what they're doing, even though from what I hear we've got an outstanding secondary. But I think our secondary is going to have to be good tacklers, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dak, hey, that's great stuff. I mean, what you said is pretty much what we've heard from just about everyone, so it jibes right with it. I mean, the praise for the improvement of Robbie, and then,
I got one. Hey, Dak, what about the running backs? Because that seems like
two
scrimmages that people are raving about.
Me and a lot of the Letterman, man, we talked about, we are stacked at running back. I mean, I think we're going to run the football. I think we're going to have a lot of success running the football. And the depth that we have is probably the best we've had in a long time.
That's good to know.
Yeah. I keep going back to the fact that it'll be interesting to see how Auburn runs the ball this year, all told, without Tank Bigsby, because he was just such a talent. But there's no doubt this is a deeper group. I think they're going to be able to pass block better. I think they're going to be better at weapons in receiving.
The offensive line's going to run block better.
And the offensive line will help them out a ton, too. So, yeah, I mean, it is crazy to think that, and if you see what Tank's been doing with the Jags so far, in preseason, it's crazy to think that you could lose such a great talent like Tank and still be perfectly set for what you want to do this season at running back. This is a good group, and I think Freeze and Montgomery's background rotating their running backs is going to help all those guys out.
Awesome stuff, Dak. Thanks for the phone call.
We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Kia of Auburn hotline as we continue with the Thursday drive.
Yahoo.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer here in the studio with Drew at the controls. While we got a minute and don't have any calls, Justin, talk about what all you got at the Observer. What's coming up?
Yeah, it's a busy week again, like it has been all throughout the fall camp. We had a story today on Peyton Thorne, a story earlier this week on the Robbie Ashford. And just a lot of people have been asking questions about what his role could end up looking like. Did a depth chart earlier this week as well. It's not the Bill Cameron depth chart, but it's, you know, I try my hardest.
I think most everybody's depth charts are getting closer together now. Yeah. I think we've got a pretty good idea.
Who are your starting receivers on the depth chart at the moment, or do you have oars at any of those spots?
I don't have oars. They were guesses. We can talk about it here in a moment. But big mailbag tomorrow. One of the questions that in the last segment or earlier, they were talking about how much better has Auburn gotten. Like, mm-hmm. you know, callers saying, like, that we've definitely gotten better. How much better? That's right. A question that even Freeze has asked about it.
We'll find out in a few weeks.
Yeah. And that's one, it's the lead question, the mailbag tomorrow. And yeah, we'll have a podcast. Dan and I doing a podcast tonight. And then our buddy Nathan King of Auburn Undercover is going to join us to be the third mic while Painter's out on the road. And
the podcast of kings tonight.
Yeah, we've got a lot. We've got a lot going on.
Watch out, man! You better hurry back.
And next week, you know, we've got game week stuff. It'll be a whole lot of fun. And I said it recently. I don't know if I've said it on here. This year there are 13 weeks in the season. This year's the 10th anniversary of the 2013 season. I'm going to write a newsletter each week about the 2013 season. I'm going to look back at some cool stories and stuff I found from that season. So that's going to be part of what we do on top of all the game week coverage. So it's a great time to sign up. $4 a month, $40 a year. We're running that special until, I believe, it expires next Friday right before the game starts. So
time to go ahead and do that.
Yeah. Over 100 new subscribers already. So we got room for plenty more if you want to jump on.
I want Bill to do at some point, and we're busy now, but we'll find the time to. I want to hear 93 stories from Bill.
Yeah, because Auburn football is honoring 83, 93, and 2013 during the season.
I would love to do some like podcasts and stuff like that about those anniversary teams this year. I'm gonna write more on 13 because I covered 13.
All very, very special.
'03 is a memorable season,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, '03. Like, you could talk about '03 yeah. for sure.
'03 is
yeah.
a memorable one, too, for folks who
a lot of folks thought, oh, it's going to be right in there with those others.
So
yeah, of course, we didn't know about 13 yet. But
We'll definitely try to have some of the stuff like that. But, yeah, 2013, I'm excited. There's some stories I've got, some newsletters I got written up already and ideas circulating about 2013 that I'm excited to share with everybody.
334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. Let's get back to it. And John is up next. Hey, John. Did we lose? Is John there?
John, you there?
All right.
Hello, John.
Hey, good afternoon.
There we go.
Hey, there he is. Can you hear us?
Yeah, we got you. I think we got you, John.
Hey,
go ahead.
Can you hear us?
I don't know.
Question. It seems like there's a lot of – all right.
because there seems to be a lot of concern coming out of the concern from the, Auburn defense this year. Is this going to be?
We're you're sort of popping in and out, but yeah. I think we got the gist of it. Concern defensively,
the run defense, and I wrote about this earlier this week as well. That was the other story I didn't have there. The question that's kind of been circulating all throughout fall camp is, when Auburn has struggled stopping the run in practice, is it because, wow, that Auburn can really run the ball, or is it more cause for concern? And I think the answer is probably somewhere in the middle.
I think it's a little yes and yes. Mm-hmm. You don't know how much. I think, like I said a few minutes ago, I think Auburn's offensive line is much improved.
Yeah.
I think they will run block much better.
Yeah. But this is a team. I'm not sold yet on Auburn's defensive front.
Well, I'm not either. I mean, and you look last year, Auburn struggled against the run.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a team that entered this offseason with a lot of question marks, and I think they've done a good job of answering, you know, most of them.
They've got guys. It's just I'm not as certain about kind of what we're going to get from them this year. And there's some things like Austin Keys being banged up here. I think Keys is going to be a key part of any run-stopping unit they're going to have, and some other guys as well. But, yeah, that's a group that's got to improve pretty quickly. And they really, really didn't have the kind of season that you've been used to seeing from Auburn's defense. It was the second most yards per carry Auburn's ever allowed.
Yeah, I mean, you average over 5 yards, give up 5 yards a rush. It was struggling.
Now, just in conference play. We looked up
no,
the eight.
No, that's period.
Oh, they did it in regular? Period. Okay. So
it's the second highest ever in yards per carry, and they had never allowed – this was the most rushing touchdowns they've allowed in a season ever. And that's pretty bleak.
That's got to improve.
Considering that was such a – I mean, think about the run of the Kevin Steele defenses and even a little bit before that. Like,
some of the expectations going in last year with some of the guys that came back.
Yeah, and it just never clicked. Now, one of the things I will say about this, and I know we got other callers, but real quick, one of the things I wrote about this week that I think people need to keep in mind with that defensive front and why that could be a sign they could be better. Auburn did not rotate at linebacker or defensive line last year. So many guys playing such heavy workloads. If they can trust their depth and keep those guys fresher, I think there could be a natural improvement from that. But there is still a lot to, like, you got to prove it. You got to go out there and prove it. But the depth and the less fatigue should play a factor if they trust that depth this season.
I think we've got John. Hopefully we've got the audio straightened out. John, you back with us?
I believe so.
Yeah, that's
sorry about
much
that.
Better.
My phone went crazy apparently, but I heard the majority of your conversation after I hung up. So is this going to be a season kind of like 2013, where the offense was progressing and the defense is a little shaky, and we're going to have to outscore everybody we play in the last possession?
Yeah, it's interesting because so Auburn's secondary.
I hope it winds. I hope it's like 2013.
Auburn's secondary.
You do it that many times.
Auburn's secondary. Their DBs, like last season, for all the struggles Auburn had last year, Auburn was about top 30, top 40 pass defense in the country. They bring pretty much everybody back. If they can get a good pass rush going, and Jalen McLeod, Steven Sings, those guys look like pretty good, candidates to do so this year, I think Auburn can be able to slow folks down through the air. However, it's the whole thing. If you can't stop the run, they'll just hammer it. It's the easiest thing to do. You just go over and over again. So that's going to be the big thing. If the defensive front and the linebackers can improve, I think this has a chance to be a solid defense this season, but that is the big question mark. Even so, I don't know if you feel the same way, Bill. I think there are more questions about the run defense now than the pass rush. And going into the year, I don't think we would have said that at the beginning of the year.
I am 100% with you because I was wondering where they're going to get the pass rush. I think they've found some answers there. I'm still waiting. We'll have to wait and see when a team that really can run the ball tests them.
Bill, how many Auburn teams, and I don't have the answer to this, so I'm just going to throw it out there. Maybe Justin looks it up. How many Auburn teams in program history have allowed 200 yards a game on the ground over the course of a season in conference play?
Not 200 many, yards. And they sure weren't good, I can tell you that.
That's what last season, I mean, last year in eight SEC games.
All I have
games,
is the overall ones.
Yeah, I mean, last year Auburn in eight conference games, you're looking at 202 yards per game on the ground allowed.
The yards per carry is the crazy one.
Yeah, it is.
Well, one of four teams in the SEC that allowed 5 yards or more on the ground last year as a defense over the course of conference play. And that's a defense that had Owen and Derek and Colby, who were all drafted into.
They're all playing 90 snaps a game.
Yeah, and you got to find a way to replace.
I just
those.
Keep going back to that for and, when it comes to the depth.
Anything else, John?
I know somebody's got to finish last in the West, but I saw that Dan Mullen had predicted Auburn to finish in seventh place in the West.
Yeah,
so,
it's going to be either them or Mississippi State, and I could see him not wanting to pick Mississippi State for sure. That's the betting line. Obviously, I'm interested in Arkansas this year. They've got some skill position talent that's really really good. Their defense was not great at all. Travis Williams has got some talent there, but like it's collectively they have not been able to kind of put it all together.
What's
they? They're one of those teams though where it's like you keep your head coach, but you change both your coordinators. Mm-hmm. That could go sideways in a hurry. I do think Travis.
People
do
are
a
so
good job
sure
there.
that 5-7 A&M team is going to be better than 5-7 again.
They're a top 25 team preseason.
I mean, maybe. I mean,
they are a top 25 team.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the poll.
I mean, maybe they underachieved and they, you know, with the right coaches can unlock everything that wasn't there last year.
Well, Schlabaugh had Petrino winning
the Broyles.
The Broyles.
I mean, I need to see it.
It is easy to pick Auburn to finish seventh
in
the West.
It is. I can understand that.
If you go head to head with State, you can say, well, State's bringing back Will Rogers.
They're bringing back a ton of – they've got a lot of 50-year seniors.
Yeah, and you can say, like, okay, well –
Auburn had a bunch last year.
Yep, yeah.
They didn't have Will Rogers, but I mean
– yeah, and so, like, that's – that. It's an interesting debate to have, for sure.
Appreciate the call, John. Do we need to get to break?
Probably.
Yeah, we need to get to our final break. Mike, Kareem, hang on, guys. You'll be up when we come back here on the Thursday Drive.
PNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes of hour number one. Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Mike is up next. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Got two questions for you. I'm going to make it real quick. First off, do you think – I'm not really worried about anything about what Hugh Freeze does recruiting-wise, but I'm curious. I know we missed on, you know, the big defensive line from Mississippi, and I understand why it was missed. So my question is, are y'all worried that Hugh Freeze will have a hard time getting defensive line and offensive line because we're going to need those more, to me, than you would probably need skill players to do it? Secondly, do you think the coaches in Alabama, I'm talking about Nick Saban and Freeze in South Alabama, do you think they would put enough pressure on Montgomery State to pass a law just like Arkansas and Tennessee and Ole Miss and Mississippi has passed to where their players that recruit get NIL money? And that's my question.
All right, appreciate the call, Mike.
That new rule is you know, those laws that have been passed are insane.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the answer to question two. To question one, I'm not terribly concerned about Hugh Freeze recruiting anything. I will say this though, defensive linemen are like they're so valuable, and
yeah.
To get the super prospects, they'll have as good a shot as a lot of people will, but it's just it's very difficult. And you know, we sort of.
I like TJ Lindsey a lot. The one they just picked up out of Arkansas is playing at IMG this year. I really like him. But yeah, you need to stack guys on the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. You need more, and they don't have to necessarily be super five stars to make impacts. Obviously, I think if you could go out and get Keldrick Falk, that type of player. You know, definitely, and he had a five star from Robles, but Darren Reed's another one that mm-hmm. jumps out, and you know, he's probably not gonna be a guy you see a ton this year, but he'll be.
Yeah, they definitely need the numbers, and I know that there's some anxiety because Auburn has struggled on the offensive line. Yeah. Auburn's, you know, building a pretty good class. They definitely need more offensive linemen.
They got a good shot
next
at one
year.
Here soon.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the line of scrimmage. I mean, I think that's my biggest question long term about the program is that will Auburn be able to build at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball to compete with the Alabamas and the Georgias of the world? That's going to be the big one that remains to be seen.
Kareem, if you can hang on, we're backed up against our top of the hour break. We've got hour number two coming up, and we'd love for you to join in.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, Drew at the controls. As we head into the second hour of the show, we're just an hour away from the season debut of Tiger Talk over on Wings 94.3.
Yeah, very exciting. Tiger Talk will be the Tiger Talk, the first edition of the show here on the Auburn the flagship stations for Auburn football, for the Auburn Sports Network. The first edition of Tiger Talk this season will be tonight on Wings 94.3. That's starting as soon as we get done. They're going to be live from campus. Baumhauer's
special event tonight, and then next week will be the first week at Baumhauer's.
That's where they'll be most weeks. We had Andy Burcham on the show earlier this week telling us about it. But yeah, football, men's basketball, and Tiger Talk you can listen to locally on Wings 94.3. Women's basketball and baseball are going to air on AU 100, starting with tonight's edition of Tiger Talk on Wings 94.3. Do not miss it. Auburn Opelika's official flagship stations of the Auburn Sports Network, Wings 94.3 and AU 100.
Again, hour number two of The Drive, and we'll get things kicked off on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kareem was with us at the end of the hour, and now we've got plenty of time to talk with him. Hey, Kareem, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Bill, Dan, Justin?
Doing well.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Kareem.
Good. I got two questions for you. First, how did Auburn enter in the series with UMass? How did that get started? Mm-hmm. And my second question is, from all three of you guys, I would like to know, which team would you like to see Auburn play or enter into a series with?
Yeah.
And they have to be new, not anything that we did before.
Okay. That's a great
question.
I'll
hang on.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. UMass game, it's a paycheck game. Every year you buy out probably about two or three slots.
You find somebody that you hope isn't the most difficult opponent that you can not have to break the bank on.
Yeah, and it's just an agreement with these one-off games where you come in and just say, hey, you know, we'll pay you X amount of money. And those schools comprises a ton of their budgets for the year. And for Auburn, you get an easy win, and you move on. So that's the thing there. The second question, I love the second question. It is something that I've talked about at the Observer a ton. I'm interested to hear what you guys say first, because I have a couple that immediately jump to mind. But what are y'all saying? A new series?
Notre Dame.
There you go.
Yeah, I would think any of the especially after Penn State, you know, was although not a fruitful series for Auburn going 0-2, but I think those were such memorable games that any of the name brand programs from the northern part of the U.S. Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, I think would all be really, really fun to see Auburn in that atmosphere against those teams. And those are probably the ones at the moment with Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma would have been on my list a couple of years ago, but now we know Oklahoma's coming to Auburn in 2024. Oklahoma will be part of the SEC, so that game will be a fairly commonplace. Nebraska could be fun if they were to get relevant again. You know that, but even without it, I mean they have such a passionate fan base, and I know it wouldn't be the first time ever.
No, Auburn played them back in 82,
for Auburn, Nebraska, but I think Auburn and Nebraska would be a pair of programs that would really get a kick out of.
I've got a list of teams Auburn's never played in football before. Notre Dame, obviously the tier one. A lot of people are on with that one. They've never played Iowa before. Basketball was the first time they'd ever played Iowa in one of the major sports. Oklahoma State. Auburn, Oklahoma State.
Auburn, Oklahoma State. That would be a fun game. Yeah, a lot of things in common.
Yeah, it would be a fun series. And then another one, kind of awful, but you talk about a program with a lot of tradition, a lot of history. Pitt. Auburn has never played Pitt in football before, which is kind of surprising. Other power conference teams they have never played. Arizona State. That'd be a fun little, I guess they're Big 12 now.
The quarterback that was going to go to Florida.
Jalen Machado.
Yeah, the guy who was going to go to Florida, but the NIL group promised more money than they make in 3 years or whatever. So they realized
Auburn
could be in trouble.
Auburn, obviously.
He's going to start at Arizona State this year.
Auburn, obviously, playing Cal this year. They've never played Stanford before in football. Be interesting to see what Stanford does moving forward. They've never played either of the Holy War teams before, BYU, Utah. I'll tell you, that would be a fun trip to make, both of those places. Gorgeous stadiums, gorgeous venues in Utah. And then the other two. Not as exciting power conference teams that Auburn has never played before, Illinois and Iowa State.
Illinois, you got the same colors, though.
Yeah, yeah. And Iowa State, again, another program where you got a lot in common with them, but you never really played them in basketball. Played them in basketball
you
not
know,
too long
ago. You'd be excited about that, Steve Cosgrove. He's in a lineup.
And Auburn has played Oregon and Washington, but they were neutral site games in NFL stadiums and not necessarily – home and homes. I think those would be fun matchups too. I mean, long trips to make, but games that you know you wonder. And although I do think with the expansion of the college football playoff, and especially with the fact that you're going to have some of these games at played at home stadiums, we'll see some of these never before seen matchups in major college football crossed off the list, because when 12 teams are making the college football playoff and some of these teams are getting to host these games, We'll see some of these matchups, with major teams that never or have rarely played themselves before, which I think is going to be an interesting wrinkle to an expanded playoff. Is you could have Notre Dame against a team that's never played Notre Dame before, USC against a team that's never played USC before, things like that.
This is also an idea. I think Stephen Godfrey at Split Zone came up with this, or at least was the first one I've heard talking about this for a while. These power conference teams, these big conference teams, SEC teams, doing 2-for-1 deals. And so it's like, we'll play you twice at our place.
Yeah,
and
we'll go to your place once.
And pick, I think Florida's done that a few times recently with some in-state schools. There's some fun ones you could line up for Auburn. Teams that they play, I mean, they've obviously played, Tulane and Houston before. But, if you could find, a city that people would want to go to. You could convince Auburn fans to go to New Orleans. You could convince Auburn fans probably to go to Houston as well for a game. That would just be fun. I think that's just if you don't want to overload your schedule, that's another way to get a quality team, or it might not, doesn't have to be a superpower either. And then also, this is the part of the program where you always suggest Auburn's never played Troy before, so that'd be interesting to see.
I've had a couple of people say, "Well, let's
they played South. They're going to play South. They've played UAB.
Yeah,
they played Jack State. Played Sanford.
I've had a couple of people here recently say, "Why doesn't Auburn pick up Central Florida?"
Oh, God. No, you don't want that. You don't want that.
Well, I think for the same reasons you don't want that, you probably don't want Troy, right? I mean, it's a game that where little is gained from a win, and it's a disaster if you lose. So I can see why that's a game where
it is funny, though, that Auburn has spread around to pretty much every other team in the state, but Troy has been the one that they've avoided. I mean, think about it. They're going to play South. UNA's now D1. Jack State's now FBS. You play pretty much all the FCS teams in state. Troy's been the one they just have never done. And there's there's close ties there for sure. But that's just always been one where I remember growing up a Troy fan and everybody saying, "What if Troy played Auburn?" It's a lot of people want to see that on the Troy side. But
if
you're Auburn,
you got
Alabama,
nothing to lose.
Nothing
to lose. You're David. Yeah.
The Auburn side of that is join the SEC and we'll play you all the time.
No, the Auburn side of that is no. It has been funny because it would have been the same.
Hey,
if South beats you or UAB beats you,
at least Auburn plays some of those teams. Alabama won't play any of them.
I think it's different with South. South is the proximity of the campuses, right? I mean, Auburn's still, you're talking about something that's 90 minutes away versus
UAB.
UAB's more similar than
and there's
Detroit.
A lot of ties between Auburn and UAB.
When was the last game where UAB came here though? That's been a while too, right? Has UAB played at Auburn in
football?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they have.
Was that more recently? Am I forgetting an Auburn UAB game?
Yeah, I think was in the 90s.
I was going to say, not recently.
No, they have done it. Like, yeah, that's the thing. It's like there's so many of these that they have done before. Auburn UAB, 96.
You know, and the
– Auburn won 29-0.
I guess there are economic things to consider as far as taking a team on the road, too, and, like, if you volunteer – like, because a lot of teams are sort of – they're protecting the home – they're protecting home games as best they can at a conference. That, and, you know, it's the – oh, if we – well, the impact on the local economy and things if you choose to play a road game.
That's why you would only do like a 2-for-1.
Well, that's why you go back to the thing that I said, let's play them for spring games, play them in a spring game. Mm-hmm. Then it doesn't count in your record if they win. You can go, oh, it's just a spring game where we're playing. But, I mean, it would still be hugely popular.
I mean, I've long pushed for Auburn, and even if you don't even have to have put them against each other. I think it would be really, really cool if Auburn and Tuskegee.
I want jamborees like you see in high school.
I want Auburn and Tuskegee to share a spring game day. Have Tuskegee come up to Jordan-Hare. Heck, if you don't feel like you're going to get a good crowd, get Auburn to go down to Tuskegee and play at that stadium. Like it would be really cool to see kind of that crossover. I mean, think about it. Like Tuskegee is such a historic program, you know, at the small HBCU level, and Auburn obviously is Auburn, and it's like, y'all are right down the road from each other. You know, there's not very many places where they have that, where you have a really, really good program.
Baton Rouge.
Right there. Baton Rouge is one like that.
Tallahassee.
And Tallahassee is like that as well. And I just think you can do more to kind of – and I know like Tuskegee's D2 and like that's – it's different. But like I just – it's really cool because when Tuskegee's humming, that place – I mean like when they're good – obviously, anybody who's ever been down there, like it's been really, really fun, and I'd like to see more crossover. I'd like to see them playing basketball more. These exhibition games,
yeah.
Playing AUM this year in basketball, which is great, but
it's easier to play
Tuskegee.
Exhibition basketball and baseball, I think, is an easier thing to just pull up. I think we're going to see fewer and fewer. Whatever we call,
you're going to see fewer FCS or whatever.
What are we calling the Power Five now? Because Power Five is a dead term. SEC and Big Ten. Let's use the SEC and the Big Ten. I think we're going to see fewer and fewer SEC and Big Ten teams.
I think we can count the Big 12 in that, too.
And okay.
Big 12 is sticking around.
And the ACC for now. The Big Four. I think we're going to see fewer and fewer of those schools from those leagues playing on the road at a conference against anyone who isn't in that Big Four.
Oh, they barely
do
that anyway.
They barely do it now. I mean, Ole Miss is playing Tulane this year.
I think that's a 2-for-1. They did a 2-for-1 with Memphis not too long ago too, which makes a ton of sense. They're right next to each other.
But you're right. They're already uncommon at that level, and I think we'll see. We're probably moving towards a world where they go extinct.
Oh, I mean, they've played them before, but like if Auburn could play a 2-for-1 with Georgia State and go play one game in at Turner or whatever they call it now, like that would be
Turner, the field formerly known as Turner Field.
Yeah. Is Center Park or something like that? I can't remember what it's called.
Hour number two of the drive here on this Thursday, and it's brought to you by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. We'll get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one, and that number, 334-321-1390, we'll do that after our break. You can also text us.
That's right. The text box, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. Available however you listen to podcasts, go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron, or go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center.
Jerry, hang on. The Kia of Auburn hotline. We need to get to our first break. You're up when we come back here on the Thursday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Thursday afternoon. The Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390. And we'll get to it. And Jerry is next. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. I really think we have a tough enough schedule, but I would really like to see a series with Notre Dame or Ohio State or Michigan. But I'd kind of like to revive some of our old rivalries, like Georgia Tech or Florida State.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Georgia Tech was a long, long rivalry. And then Florida State was a pretty wild one. You're right about that.
It was. I was. I saw the 42-41 game.
You were there in Tallahassee for that one?
I was.
Wow.
And, that's been a great rivalry.
Yeah, Doak Campbell was like a not even a great high school stadium back in those days. I mean, even though Florida State
right.
was winning some games.
One of the tougher things about adding a Michigan or an Ohio State to the schedule is there are very few. I mean, you'd probably have to go up there, but I think there's only there are quite a few Big Ten non-conference games against FC, you know, against bowl subdivision teams and even major conference teams, but the majority of those games are played in Big Ten stadiums. You know, at least this year, I think five Big Ten teams are playing all three of their non-conference games at home. Like, there's teams in that league that don't like to go on the road out of conference unless they have to.
And I think if we get to 9 SEC games, like most folks expect, it's going to be tough to expect teams to be looking for games against, you know, the Ohio States and Michigans.
Although, you know, Michigan had their date with Notre Dame every year. That's off the schedule, so maybe Michigan will get more adventurous with one of their three out of conference games. And I say that about Ohio State. Ohio State is going to Notre Dame this year. One of the top out of conference games being played in all of college football is when Ohio State goes. Is it September 23rd? Ohio State plays at Notre Dame. In one of the bigger games of the month of September this year.
That's all I had, guys.
Appreciate it, Jerry. All right, take care. 334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn.
Do we need to mention the UNLV?
Yeah, we might as well.
Was that on the air, the conversation about
it must have been, because Floyd texted UNLV. I was checking an email from campus. And Floyd texted UNLV.
I said there was one I was missing. And Floyd gave us the answer. UNLV.
You've got New Orleans. Tulane was indoors for a while, but it's you have UNLV playing in the Raider Stadium now. Allegiant. There's UTSA was the one I always forget about playing in the Alamo Dome, and then Syracuse, the Carrier Dome. Auburn's done that before.
The Carrier Dome, which still is not air conditioned.
Return visit. You want to sign Auburn up for that one?
Well, no. I'm just flabbergasted that the Carrier Dome
is still not
the dome. The Carrier Dome, and it's not air conditioned.
That makes no sense. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make no matter who the sponsor is, though. It doesn't make sense that it's just extra ironic.
Yeah.
That you have a company that specializes in something like that.
They should have been in the South, someplace that needed AC to sponsor it. All right, let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. Inspector is next. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. Bill, I listened to your program yesterday and heard the interview with Peyton Thorne.
Yeah, and Nathan asked the question. I was ready to ask the questions that you had asked, and Nathan King asked those. So hope you heard the answers as to why he wound up at Auburn.
Yeah, I did. I basically come to the conclusion that why he picked Auburn was to get closer to Destin Beach.
It definitely is a whole lot closer than Michigan State is.
I think between that and Auburn offering probably the best, you know, the best supporting cast or the best chance to win of anywhere he could get on the field.
And the fact that he's taking some classes, doesn't even know what they are. I mean, maybe they had some really good options for him academically.
Yeah, I was waiting for him to say I'm taking basket weaving or something. But, he dodged the question about why he left Michigan State.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I can understand that. I mean, if there are some things that went down that he's not really thrilled about, it's probably best not to air dirty laundry.
And I'm okay with that, because I get a little nervous when a transfer picks a new school and wants to talk a lot about his old school. Right? It's sort of like dating somebody who's hung up on their ex.
Well, it's like your mom said, if you can't say something good, say anything at all.
I'm okay with him sort of no commenting it now that he's at a different school.
I wasn't really concerned about his personal reasons. I just wanted to make sure there was nothing physically that made him want to or made the coaches decide to open it back up to the rest of the quarterbacks.
You know, I think it I really think a lot of it comes down to appreciation. right? Like that guy put in 2 years as the quarterback and maybe found himself a little bit disrespected or questioned in a way by the actions of the program. Again, just speculating. You know, he hasn't said any of these things. But I think he's looking for somewhere that might appreciate his talents a little more than they were appreciated at Michigan State.
Hey, listen, I want to move on to special teams here.
Sure.
Who is our long snapper?
Yeah, Jacob Quattlebaum, who's been the last couple of years.
Yeah, I figured that. So these two sophomores, are they getting any work? Or I imagine they are, but
Yeah, they don't have anybody that – I mean, they've got a couple of guys that are working, obviously, behind him. You've got to have more than one snapper because you never know. But, I mean, Auburn's fortunate that they have as much experience returning as they do there on special teams.
What does long snapper depth look like on the Bill Cameron depth chart?
I don't have anybody listed behind him because I pretty much just list scholarship players. But
yeah, let me ask
concerned.
Who is he working with as far as the holder goes?
Lean up and who's the holder?
Who's been taking holder work in practice?
Still Oscar?
Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. I guess it is Oscar Chapman, the punter.
We haven't seen much
of the place kicking, but I would think it's probably.
Yeah, I was whispering because I wasn't sure.
Yeah, when we see kickers like they're usually
at a
working.
Distance.
Yeah, they're usually at a distance and not working with the holders in front of us.
Yeah. Okay. So Chapman's our punter and our kicker is going to be who?
McPherson, Alex McPherson, who finished the year last year after Anders got hurt.
Yeah, Big Mac.
Is he a redshirt freshman or a true freshman?
He is a redshirt. He only played in 4 games last year,
right.
So he still got the redshirt.
Okay. That's basic. Okay, that's all I needed to know on the special teams, I guess. Well, I'll let you guys go. That's all I got today.
All right. Yeah, and I asked Coach Freeze about the kick returners the other day. I mean,
it's going to be Brian Batie.
Because there was a large list of possibilities. And
punt
yes.
returns, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Keontae Scott sounds like the top guy right now.
If Caleb Burton gets some opportunities, I could see him making some plays on it. Mm-hmm. It's just the way he shifts, the way he moves around is really, really good, and he's got great speed. I think he'd be a great.
I think Auburn's got some really.
He was awesome. He was
really
awesome
good
punt.
Possibilities.
He was an awesome punt returner in high school. Going back pre-injury there in Texas.
I mean, they've got a couple of pretty good possibilities along with Batie, too.
Yeah, Batie, kick returner is about as good as you're going to get.
But, I mean, if you kick it away from him, they've got a chance to have somebody else who's pretty good over there, too, and a few possibilities
100%.
There. 334-321-1390. That is the Kia of Auburn hotline. Yeah, I don't know – who would be your number two long snapper right now? I know they've got a couple of other guys working there, but that's something. Yeah, I didn't list on my depth chart.
Is that something where they could draft one of the existing scholarship linemen into long snapping duties, or is it a totally different skill set?
That's a skill you have to work on, being able to spin it accurately back to either 8 or 15 yards.
Yeah, it seems like it's a different skill set than like any of the guys.
No kidding.
Because you have, I mean, between
you don't want that kind of velocity going to your quarterback from your center.
I mean, you have four guys on the team who have worked at center, as far as we know. In
you don't see many centers that long snap.
Exactly.
Think about it.
You don't. No. So I'm thinking like between Avery, Connor, Jaleel Irvin's been a center before in college football, and now apparently Gunnar Britton. Has done some work at center, too. So
I'll tell you, the guy who's working number three at center right now is Braden Joyner.
And there's Braden Joyner, who also has done some work at center in practice. So I don't know, though, as far as what they would do if anything happened to Quattlebaum. So protect him.
Yeah, well, they have other guys that are out there snapping. Well, I just hadn't really, noticed exactly who they are. And, again, I apologize.
And we won't be out there anymore, so we can't tell you.
Not that we know of. 334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in as we continue here with the Thursday Drive.
ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final half hour here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Love for you to join in. Anything on your mind, sports wise? We've got a we've got an opportunity with Bruce tomorrow. Auburn basketball. You know, we're getting closer to basketball season as well. And when I was on with Wimp Sanderson and his son Barry yesterday, they were like both of them talking about the athleticism that they're hearing that Bruce and Auburn have this year.
This basketball team, I keep saying it, I think they are built to really thrive in what we've seen from Bruce Pearl teams in the past, running and gunning. I mean, that's going to be what they excel at. Got a lot of 3-point shooting ability that they've added. Mm-hmm. Bringing back a veteran front court. You've got an elite player, elite freshman in Aiden Holloway coming in as well. It's a really, really good sign for Auburn that, you know, not an off season where they, you know, they didn't get the Walker Kessler
transfer. The big names.
Yeah, they didn't get the Jabari Smith, Walker Kessler pickups. But I really think they remade this roster in a really good style and a really good format for what this team could be, which is, you know, playing a lot like those Jared and Bryce teams from the beginning.
334-321-1390. We'll get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Bill is next. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. I took a peek in the stadium today, and I looked at those seats in the corners. And I understand what they're doing. They're trying to raise money. And they do sit on a platform that will raise them up.
Oh, that's good.
Where you can see over the reporters and the photographers and so forth.
Our question was, is there any type of covering?
Yeah, it was that they put up some kind of I don't know how to describe it. It looks like you're setting up for a concert or something. The aluminum stuff around the, and they may put something over the top of it, but whether they do or not, Bill, there's not going to be a breath of wind in that corner for about the 3-4 weeks of the season.
Those fans better work pretty well.
Yeah, that's going to be the hottest place in the world. I mean, I understand, you know, people who pay that kind of money, who want to sit over there, want to take selfies and on the field and we're this close. But my goodness, like you said, the video board behind you, you're not going to see anything from that. But you know, it's like you said, it's a temporary thing. If I had that kind of money, I'm not sure I'd want to sit over there. But yeah, it's just. And that being said, I heard what Zach said about the linebacker core and everything, and all we can hope for is, you know, it's minimal injuries to people who will be available for the, you know, game day, and I think they will be. I hope they will be. You know, I saw a thing today about where somebody's got Texas A&M, and I know they got a lot of talent. They're in the top 25, maybe the top 15, I don't know. But is that the same Texas A&M team we beat here last year that won 5 games?
Yeah.
And, you know, this whole thing about, personally myself, I don't think any kind of a reputable poll should come out until after the fourth week of the season, when people who have stopped munching on cupcakes and actually get to the meat of the schedule. I mean, it's like Auburn can have a great season this year. They may, they may not, but they will be so slow to climb up the ladder simply because they've been buried on what happened last year. Well, if what happened last year matters, why is Texas A&M in the top 25?
Wait a minute, Bill, and we rarely disagree. Auburn will not be slow to climb up the ladder if there's significant improvement.
If Auburn's 4-0,
if Auburn's 5-0, they're a top 3 team.
Oh, they are. If they're 4-0, they're a ranked team.
Yeah. If Auburn's 4-0, they'll probably be in the
top 20.
Depending on how A&M starts the year, if Auburn's 4-0, they're in the top 20. If Auburn's 5-0 after the Georgia game, they're in the top 3.
And the good thing is the BCS poll doesn't come out early on, and it's not just relying out there. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I don't disagree with the value or the reliability or the accuracy of these early polls. But let's face it, fans love it or they hate it. It's something they'll talk about.
Being ranked in the top 25 in the preseason and like $2 will get you a McChicken, right? Like it's not you're right. It doesn't mean too much. And you know, sometimes it shows, wow, there's a lot of enthusiasm in a program that didn't really show you that much on the field last year, like in this case Texas A&M, Bill.
Yeah, you're right, Dan. I can appreciate that, and we don't disagree. I guess Bill and Dan, you probably too will recollect the 2004 season when that Auburn team took so long to climb up the ladder and basically got, I think, denied a chance to play for the national championship because they started the season so far out of the picture. By the time I got to the end of the season, it was they couldn't overcome it.
Yeah, the biggest problem there was the 1-2 teams just never lost.
No, well, you're right about that.
Auburn could have started the season 5 in the preseason.
They could have started the season 3.
If 1-2 never lost.
Well, maybe if they have 3, they might have been in the top 2. But you're right.
No, that was just. I mean, and it's so unfortunate too that like we're the example of, you know, this is a great system as long as 3 teams don't go undefeated all year. It turns out. So
Dan, where did you guys stay at when you went to the WrestleMania last night?
No. So we just drove up, the three of us. We went to, you know, we drove home after the show, but we were in the Gas South in Duluth.
Over by
Gwinnett. It's that arena, which I guess has also hosts hockey and lacrosse.
I've been there.
Tennis as well. A cool venue for. Cool venue for the wrestling show. We did the same thing there last summer as well when they ran Atlanta during media days last year. And so we went to that show too. But it's a great show. I encourage folks, even if you're a super casual or even not really much of a pro wrestling fan at all, if you get the chance to see AEW live, I think you're in for a great show.
Yeah, it's a good venue. Well, like I said, I'm not a blind loyalist, but I'm a realist, and I believe this Auburn team will win the game they're supposed to win. I believe they will win a game they're not supposed to win. I'm not predicting championships, but I believe Hugh Freeze is not Brian Harsin, and this will be a different kind of season.
Agree on that, no question.
The majority, and maybe not like the overwhelming majority, but I think a lot of people would say, especially outside the Auburn program right now, they'd say you look at Auburn going to A&M, hosting Georgia, going to LSU, hosting Ole Miss. I know there's a bye week in the middle there, but those 4 games, I think a lot of folks right now would say that's 0-4. I think people that are more optimistic than that would say it's not 0-4. Now you're making a prediction about what it's going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's a brutal 4-game stretch. All 4 of those teams are in the aforementioned preseason top 25. And that's, you know, that's really the stretch where, I mean, if you avoid 0-4, I think you've got the chance to overperform what a lot of people think this team's going to do this year.
I agree completely. Oregon,
appreciate the call, Bill. Yesterday, all right, while you guys were gone, of course, Jason Caldwell was on, and I like Jason. Jason had an interesting way of looking at it. He said, "Look, there are 3 games, 3 teams that I don't think anyone would argue are more talented than Auburn. And that's Georgia, Alabama, and LSU. But those are 3 games that Auburn should be the underdog. No question, should be the underdog. He said there are 3 non-conference games. No question Auburn should win. Probably 4, but three for sure. Take those, because you got a Texas A&M that people would say, some folks would say, well, they're more talented than they should win. But Auburn beat them last year.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put Cal in sort of on the other end. But he said 3 that you should lose, 3 that people will say you're going to lose, 3 people say you're going to win. Then you got the other 6 games. What do you do in those 6 games? If you go 3-3, if you go better than 3-3 in those 3 you should lose, 3 you should win, then you've got a chance. You got a chance to have a pretty darn good season. That means you've beaten one of those 3 teams that everyone says is more talented than you. But in those six games there to get to a bowl game.
Yeah.
All right, you lose the three, you're going to lose. You win the three, you're going to win. You split the other six.
Yeah, we've talked about it on our podcast. I think there's three kind of swing points of the season, and it's at A&M, home against Ole Miss, and I say at Arkansas. And it's like those are ones where you, like what you do in those three could really – change what, how you feel about your about the season.
But I'm careful about penciling in Cal or Mississippi
State.
You've got to do better than what some
odds makers are saying that Auburn is less than a 50% chance of winning at Cal. You've got to take care of that one.
Yeah.
Well, Auburn's never won in California.
That's also based on, I think the data.
So what?
They've never played a team like Cal either.
Well, a lot of people, but you know, we were talking about it earlier, though, Justin. A lot of people can look at Auburn and go, they got a lot of FCS players coming in on a team that wasn't very good last year.
Yeah, but have they seen what Cal has?
Well, I'm just saying, you don't look a little closer at what's there,
I mean,
and they're wondering, is that offensive line really going to be better, or is that defensive line really that bad?
I
can see where people think Auburn is a 500 or maybe 5-17.
Sure, but Cal hasn't had it's like three straight losing seasons at Cal, and they haven't had a recruiting class higher than like 50 in that. I mean, it's like they are different. Like Auburn at its worst, which that we've seen here recently,
still should beat Cal, but it's out there.
Sure.
So 334-321-1390. Daniel is up next. Hey, Daniel.
Hey guys. I hope y'all are staying cool today.
AC's
I wanted to throw a hypothetical at y'all and see what y'all thought. As a fan, say you have 10 years, a decade. There's two options for your team in this decade. Option one, is that they contend every year for those 10 years. Every year, you're looking at 9-10 win seasons, at least playing in Atlanta in December. Option two, you are guaranteed one national championship in that 10-year span, and the rest of the years are absolute horrible.
Wait. Hold on. I want to get that first
10
one
years.
Right.
You contend for 10 years, or you win one national title. What are you picking?
Are you guaranteed no championships in the 10-year window where we go to Atlanta?
Like,
you're 10 years where you don't.
So you could be – you could win in the first 10, but you're looking at, you know, Mark Richt, 10-2 –
I mean, no, you sent me to the SEC championship game 10 years in a row in this climate. I think you got a team in one of those 10 years that wins the national championship.
I think you can give me 10 years in a row where you win 9 games, you'll take it.
Because
that puts you in the elites of the elites in college football. And I think your question, there's a good debate on both sides, but I also think this focus, this hyper focus on like winning a championship and how that's going to like solve all your problems, basically, or like that's what
you're
going for. But here's the thing. I think if you have a view of like every year you have a good team. I mean, back in the day, that was all you needed. Championships are like, okay, well, somebody will vote on that at some point. And like, I feel like if you could string together 10 straight, like really quality years, you would be.
I want multiple 10-win seasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which has never happened. You've had back-to-back.
It's 80s, right?
Yeah.
That's the last time that's happened?
Yes, that's the only time it's happened.
The only time it's happened.
Get me to the SEC championship game and throw me – get me a team good enough to go to the SEC championship game and throw me in the playoff, and I like my chances.
I'm thinking in a 12-team playoff, if you're winning double-digit games – you're going to be in the playoff,
because
too.
Because you think you can celebrate a championship, and a championship's great, and everybody's going to remember it forever. But, like
you want to be consistent. 10-1.
Let's adjust this. How about this? I'll guarantee you 10 straight losses in the SEC championship game. Or a 10-year window where I guarantee you one national championship.
But if you go to the rest of his thing, he said, but the other 9 years, you're terrible.
No. Even with 10 straight losses in the SEC championship game in a 12-team playoff format where you can bounce,
probably going to go to the playoffs losing the SEC title game.
Team loses the SEC championship game, still probably going to the playoffs.
That's a fun hypothetical, though.
I think if you
cut that hypothetical, if Daniel's hypothetical, if you cut that down to 5, then you start getting a little interested. hey, you give me five really good years in a row, or I'll guarantee you one national title in 5 years.
Then you're gonna get more people to go, I'll take the title.
Ten's a long time. Five, I think, is a good one. Or like every, how about four? You get a cycle. You give me a 4 year cycle, and say,
if I win a national championship every 4 years, it's like, well,
you're gonna suck
for 3 years, yeah, and win a title.
So in the other 3 years, you're guaranteeing like below 500 regular season.
No bowl, title. No bowl,
I guess, title. I guess that's like if you're the like that weird run the Red Sox went on where it was like they either made it to the World Series or were in last. Like
Marlin,
that's the
Marlin
only
baseball, baby. That's Marlin baseball.
Yeah, you're right
when,
about
when
that.
We make it, we win.
Hey, we need to get to our final break of the afternoon. Who do we have? Oh, hey, Brett, hang on. We'll give you plenty of time when we come back here on the Thursday Drive.
Hey, guys. At ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Right back to the Kia of Auburn hotline. And Brett. Hey, Brett.
Hey, guys. The rush defense, I know last scrimmage there were four guys out or either didn't practice or Harris got hurt at the beginning. But the first scrimmage, the run defense didn't do that well either. So what position is not getting it done on the front four? Because you would think Auburn would be better at nose guard, if nothing else, just as good at tackle. And we hear that same McLeod and McAllister are doing real well. Is it Falk and Kite who's not doing good?
I think it's just a collective, really, and I think linebackers being banged up has also affected that group as well.
Remember what Ron Roberts has said about his defense. It's a linebacker driven defense. His defense is built for everything to funnel to the linebackers.
And when you have Austin Keys banged up, and you've gotten some other guys who's missed some time, I think that's contributed to it. But yeah, that defensive front. I'm curious, like how much does Justin Rogers improve? How we've heard a lot about Jason Jones taking a step forward, but like last year, not a ton of production there were those guys. Marcus Harris, I think, will be better back more on the natural inside there, but it's a new system too. You got to keep that in mind. It's a new system, a new way of doing things on defense. So I think there's a learning curve and a transition to be made on top of it.
And you're going and you're also, I mean, that's been Auburn against its own offensive line. You look at some of the lines, the sizes of the offensive lines around the SEC, and they're going to be a lot bigger than Auburn's front.
Well, yeah, there'll be some that are bigger, but, you know, there are going to be some that's not as good. I mean,
They're not.
But last thing, how about Cam Riley? I mean, we heard, Asante's having a great camp. Keys, when he's well, and Nixon was coming on. Is Cam Riley, is he struggling?
No, we talked to Josh Aldridge last week. Cam Riley said he said that Cam Riley might end up playing as much as those other guys, even if he doesn't start. He can move around a lot. I think he's kind of going to be the wild card of that group.
He spoke with the media a little bit yesterday. Said he's working a lot at the edge as well as inside.
Playing the mic, playing the wheel, moving to edge. In a defense where they move those guys around a lot, I think in a traditional who's going to start, Cam Riley hasn't been talked about as much, but Josh Aldridge says they expect him to be playing a good bit. It's just a new defense and getting adjusted
on the run game front too, Brett. I get the sense it's not so much there's an individual player who needs to step it up or improve his performance. It's that they'd like more of them, right? You have four or five in a situation where right now you might need middle of the season. You might need seven or eight contributors instead of just four or five. And as a scrimmage wears on, that lack of depth can be exposed.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate the call, Brett. Yeah, I mean, when will we find out? When will we know? I mean, I guess, of course, if you know, UMass or Cal gashes Auburn, then you'd know something. But, I mean, we'll see maybe at A&M. You will see the next week.
I'd say, those three.
So
of
you
those,
mentioned the four games.
Three of yeah. those, yeah. Three of those first five, though. I mean, Cal on the road is that's a Power Five opponent for now.
But I mean, just because Auburn, if Auburn shuts those first three opponents down, that doesn't mean that they've got a great rush defense either. So I mean, it could be. It could be a few games.
It'd be more reassuring than the other.
Oh, yeah, you're right about that. Scenario. Justin, before we run out of time, one more time on the Observer.
Yeah, auburnobserver.com. We got a mailbag out tomorrow, podcast as well. We have a little basketball sprinkled in here, and then game week next week. You got a ton of stuff coming. Best time to sign up, $4 a month or $40 for a year. You get everything sent to your email inbox.
Back tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.